السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to our journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the ayat from the 8th juz of the Quran. We are still continuing with Surah Al-An'am. And then, inshallah, we're going to start the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf. In Surah Al-An'am, last night, I made a mistake in the recitation of one of the ayat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates, and he is the one who splits the seed and the inner core of the plants that result in the growth of new plants from that seed or from that inner core. In fact, I'm going to go back to that passage in the Quran, because the ayat that come in this passage are so beautiful and so great in talking about the magnificent powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one else can claim but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ayat read, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَنَّى تُؤْفَكُونَ فَالِقُ الْإِصْبَاحِ وَجَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ حُسْبَانًا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ وهو الذي جعل لكم النجوم لتهتدوا بها في ظلمات البر والبحر قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يعلمون وهو الذي أنشأكم من نفس واحدة فمستقر ومستودع قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يفقهون وهو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء فأخرجنا به نبات كل شيء فأخرجنا منه حبا متراكبا فأخرجنا منه خضرا نخرج منه حبا متراكبا ومن النخل من طلعها قنوان دانية وجنات من أعناب والزيتون والرمان مشتبها وغير متشابه انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينعه إن في ذلكم لآيات لقوم يؤمنون وجعلوا لله شركاء الجن وخلقهم وخرقوا له بنين وبنات بغير علم سبحانه وتعالى عما يصفون بديع السماوات والأرض أنى يكون له ولد ولم تكن له صاحبة وخلق كل شيء وخلق كل شيء وهو بكل شيء عليم سبحانه وتعالى. When we read these ayat, and subhanallah, the miracle of the words of these ayat that come in the Arabic language, that is really hard to translate into any other language with the same perfection and complexion and completion of conveying the meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about several of his unique powers, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no one else possesses. So again, it all goes back to the beginning of the surah, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. And then after all that, the non-believers are equating their dumb, speechless idols, dumb meaning that they cannot speak, idols, they are equating them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah amma yasifun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling us, as we mentioned yesterday, the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. He extracts the live thing out of the dead. A chick out of an egg, for example. وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala also extracts something that's dead from something that is living. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهِ. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. How can you be deceived in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَالِقُ الْإِصْبَاحِ. And we talked about the creation of, or the dawn of every new day, and the sun rising every morning from the east, and the beauty of it shattering the darknesses of the night. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ حُسْبَانَ. And how the sun and the stars and the moons can be used to calculate the dates. وهو الذي جعل لكم النجوم لتهتدوا بها في ظلمات البر والبحر. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala created the constellations and the stars in their perfect order, so that we can know, for example, by looking at this particular constellation, this is the direction to the north, for example. قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يعلمون. The ayat have been detailed for people who really know and understand the significance of these ayat. وهو الذي أنشأكم من نفس واحدة فمستقر ومستودع. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that all of us were created from one soul. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaped and created Sayyidina Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And then from Sayyidina Adam came Sayyida Hawa, and then from Sayyidina Adam and Sayyida Hawa came all their progeny and all their offspring, including us, up till us. وهو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended that water from the heavens, rain. فأخرجنا به نبات كل شيء. From that rain, we grew or we raised the seed of everything. نبات كل شيء. Everything that is planted, everything that's green, grows out of these seeds that are irrigated with that water that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نخرج منه حبا متراكبة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us examples about it's the same water that comes from the heavens, and yet when it touches the soil or the ground, touching different seeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, come out of these seeds different plants with different colors, with different tastes, with different appearances. Subhanallah, this is only a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the same soil, it's the same water, but the seeds are different, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them appear that way. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back again, as I said, to the beginning of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizing this concept of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all that, they made partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these partners? Some of them are jinn. Some people are worshipping the jinn, as it comes in Surah Al-Jinn, for example. And some of them are worshipping other idols, whether it's humans or other creatures or even inanimate objects. وَخَلَقَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created them. وَخَرَقُوا لَهُ بَنِينَ وَبَنَاتٍ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ And they claimed unjustifiedly and mistakenly that they attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sons and daughters without having the knowledge to make that claim. They claimed that some of the prophets are the sons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they claimed that the angels were the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَعَالَى اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ And at the end of this beautiful passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He is the one who perfected the heavens and the earth, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in everything subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no blemish, there's no flaw in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبَةٌ How come you attribute a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he did not have a consort or a wife or any woman, a companion to give birth to that son? وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And he subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, and he is knowledgeable about everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this beautiful passage with the ayat, ذلكم الله ربكم لا إله إلا هو خالق كل شيء فاعبدوه وهو على كل شيء وكيل This is your Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing his great magnificent self to us subhanahu wa ta'ala and telling us after knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, our only duty is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو على كل شيء وكيل لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير The eyes cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our earthly eyes cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even among the best of the creation, even among the prophets and the messengers, they could not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. We know when Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, I want to feast my eyes with seeing you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, You will not see me because your earthly eyes are not qualified, are not prepared to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تدركه الأبصار But he subhanahu wa ta'ala, وهو يدرك الأبصار He subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything and everyone all the time under any conditions. وهو اللطيف الخبير سبحانه وتعالى Again, subhanallah, when we read these ayat just to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, those who open their eyes, those who open their minds and their hearts can't help but love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love everything and anything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was part of the juz that was recited tonight, which is the seventh juz. And today I want to talk about another passage that comes towards the end of the surah in Surah Al-An'am that is also so unique. Subhanallah. We know that the Quran of Mecca was predominantly talking about faith, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the day of judgment, about paradise, about the hellfire, and signs of the might and power and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is predominantly the Quran of Mecca al-Mukarrama, including also a lot of arguments with the non-believers, defeating all of their false allegations and false arguments, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to respond to all of these false allegations. And again, in Surah Al-An'am is a very good example where, as we mentioned yesterday, in many ayat, so many ayat in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, tell them, in case they are ignorant, in case they do not understand, explain it to them, show it to them, remind them about all of these great signs of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat of Quran in Medina, on the other hand, are talking about events that happened and interactions that happened between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and especially the family of the scripture in Medina, predominantly the Jews and some of the Christian delegations that came to visit Medina, like the Christians of Najran in Al-Yaman, for example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the events of the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving rules and laws and legislation to govern the affairs among the Muslims and between the Muslims and other nations, whether they are non-believers or family of the scripture. So we have the detailed rules and regulations of the do's and the don'ts in the daily interactions about buying and selling and inheritance and marriage and divorce and so on and so forth, waging war and forging peace. All of these are detailed in the ayat of the Quran that was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. There is something unique about some of the ayat that come at the end of Surah Al-An'am. They seem as if they were ayat madaniyah because they are talking about do's and don'ts. However, we're going to find a very big similarity between these ayat and another ayat that were also revealed in another surah makkiyah, which is Surah Al-Isra, which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was still in Mecca, which are ayat that are talking about behavior, ayat that are talking about social ills and how to recover from these social ills and how to remedy these social ills, ayat that are talking about the relationship between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between the servant and other servants, again, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us, in fact, that the community of believers around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were listening to that Quran fresh from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it was just revealed, being revealed to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were learning not only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only about how to behave and how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only about the day of judgment, not only about the Jannah and Nar, not only about the stories of previous nations and how they misbehaved with their prophets and how these nations were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a warning to the pagans and the non-believers in Mecca. If you do the same, you're going to have the same result. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instills in them the morals of Islam. You know, when the scholars divide the branches of knowledge, for example, into aqa'id, ibadat, mu'amalat, and akhlaq. Al-aqa'id, which is the dogma, the creed, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find a lot of it in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the Qur'an that's Makki. Al-ibadat, we find actually part of it in the Qur'an of Mecca, but the majority of it in the Qur'an of Medina, talking about, for example, al-hajj, talking about siyam, talking about zakah. All of these details came in the Qur'an that was in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. As-salah is different because salah was established in Mecca al-Mukarramah. So wudu and salah, we were instructed about them, or the believers were instructed about them early enough in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas the other prescriptions or the other foundations or pillars of Islam, like Siyam and like Zakah and Hajj, for example, these were established in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And the ayat that talk about the details come in the Quran that is Madani. So these are al-aqaid wal-ibadat. What about al-mu'amalat, the interactions? Again, and the transactions. Most of them, most of the details come in the Quran of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Talking about, again, buying and selling, talking about usury, al-riba, talking about inheritance and the distribution of the inheritance, as we talked about it in Surah An-Nisa, talking about marriage and divorce as it comes in full detail, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah. What would be the period that a woman should stay after a husband dies, for example, without remarrying? If a woman gets divorced, what are her rights and what are her responsibilities, and so on and so forth. All of these details come predominantly in the Quran of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. What about the akhlaq? The akhlaq actually come in both of them equally. But predominantly, actually, they come in the Quran of Mecca Al-Mukarramah. So the Quran of Mecca Al-Mukarramah instilled these akhlaq, these behaviors, these morals, before having a state, before having the power to apply the law and the regulations and so on. There's that internal law between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relationship between the servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the relationship between the servant and other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether humans or animals or whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regulates that early, very early in the ba'tha of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it starts in Mecca al-Mukarramah. We know the ayat, for example, that come in Surah Al-Isra, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, which is a very beautiful ayah. We're going to talk about it, inshallah, in due time, talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, has decreed that none should be worshipped apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then one should be kind to one's parent. And then the ayat that come about that, talking about expenditure, talking about how to talk to people, not to be arrogant, to walk light, to tread lightly on earth, and so on and so forth. All of these are behaviors. All of these are morals. This is the fabric of the believer himself or herself. One of the scholars of tafsir, the modern contemporary scholars of tafsir, Shaheed Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah, in the introduction to his tafsir in Surah Al-An'am, that introduction by itself is a masterpiece, because before even talking about the details of the ayat, he's giving a preface or a preamble about the generation around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca al-Mukarramah that received this Quran, and how they absorbed it, and how it had an effect. It was imprinted in their hearts and in their minds, and most importantly, in their behavior around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions that, for example, we are reading the Quran today as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were reading it at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How come within very few years they were able to make that big change, a worldwide change, a civilizational change, and how come today the Muslims are hundreds of times more than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The largest recorded number of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered at the same place was in Hajjat al-Wada', which is around, some scholars say, around 100,000, even up to 120,000. And today when we talk about the Muslims being in the billions, 1 point something billion, so imagine now how many zeros do you have to add. You're going to find that it's probably 10,000 times or so. I'm not doing the math right now, but it's a very big difference in number. However, what is our impact on the world scene today compared to the impact of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the world scene at that time? Of course, humanity was not 7 or 8 billion people as we are today, but when you look at the ratio of Muslims at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared to the ratio of Muslims of the whole world population today, we are much more. However, what is the impact of that number? We find that the impact is negligible, unfortunately, in most of the cases. Many people take the Muslims lightly. The Muslim blood can be spilled without the fear of any consequences, as we have seen in Myanmar, and we have seen in Kashmir, in many other places around the world, that the Muslim, and even within the internal bloodshedding in Muslim majority countries, whether it's in Libya or in Syria or in Yemen or in Iraq or many other Muslim countries, we find that again at the end the impact of the Muslims on the civilization around them is quite limited. And he attributed that to one major difference. When the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the Quran, and when they heard, for example, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, or ya ayyuhal nas, each and every one of them took that as a direct order to himself or herself. It is a direct order to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to me directly through his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling me what to do or what not to do. Whereas many of us today, in fact, the majority of us today, when we hear ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, ya ayyuhal nas, oh, it's talking about the believers. As if it was talking about someone else, and I'm not the first one addressed with that speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the major differences. As one of the companions would say, that we would not move from 10 ayat of the Quran, we would try to memorize 10 ayat of the Quran, and we would not move to another set of 10 ayat until we have memorized, understood, and applied and implemented these ayat in our lives, then we move to the next 10 ayat. That of course does not mean that whenever the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, they postponed it. No, they did not. But he's talking about the different ayat in general. Of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do this, they immediately comply. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the meat of the domesticated donkeys, for example, cannot be eaten, they were in the battle with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were so hungry, and they have killed some of these donkeys. They started cooking them, and the pots are boiling, and the smell of the food is appetizing. And then the ayat come, and immediately they spill all of these pots, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it unlawful. As the scholars narrate, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And until that time, khamr was not forbidden yet. It was forbidden at the time of the prayer. It was not advised to drink khamr. It was not, but still it was not forbidden. So many companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had khamr in their houses, and they used to drink it after they finished Salat al-Isha, because it was not forbidden yet. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, not only don't drink it, don't manufacture it, don't sell it, don't buy it, don't trade in it, and so on and so forth. All of those who had khamr in their houses, they spilled all of their reserve or their storage, to the extent that the smell of khamr could be smelled in the alleys and the streets of Medina, because they spilled all the khamr that they had. So they immediately complied to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the beauty of this generation, the unique generation of companions around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So without further ado, let's go to the ayat that come to the end, at the end of Surah Al-An'am. And these are again ayat, as I mentioned, similar to a certain extent to the ayat in Surah Al-Isra. What do they say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. And this is a very beautiful way of attracting the attention of the believers. In the colloquial Arabic, when someone is summoning someone or calling for someone to come closer, they would say, تَعَالَ, come close, so that you can listen. Come close, I want to tell you something very specific. I don't want to raise my voice. I don't want everyone to hear. So come close so can you hear my detailed instructions. But when we look at the word itself, ta'ala, it is from ulu. It is from going, rising up. So as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers early in Mecca, قُلْ تَعَالَى rise up. So be above the fray, be above the trivial disputes of people, rise up, elevate yourselves, be sublime so that you can receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciate that revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell you what He has forbidden you to do. As we mentioned before, Islam, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, is a complete, comprehensive way of life, yet it is very easy and very straightforward. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the meaning of the hadith. That is, it is truly easy for those who strive to follow it. Yes, there's a price to pay, but alhamdulillah, the faith itself is not complex. It's not mind-boggling. It can be understood by anyone, even with limited mental capabilities. قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. First and foremost, do not associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat that we talked about a couple of days ago, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. The ayat that comes in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear that He subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate association with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not forgive that. Apart from that, any other sin, however great it might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, He would forgive it, except for that, the association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that would be unfair to oneself. They oppress themselves by not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unfair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And then after the command of being of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, what do we expect? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That's why I say there are some similarities and parallels between this passage of ayat and the one in Surah Al-Isra. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Some of the scholars have said something very interesting about this وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Why does it always follow the command of not to worship anything or anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the great, again, contemporary scholars of tafsir mentioned that if someone does not treat one's parents well, if the person does not treat his parents well, after all they have done for him, raising him from weakness, from childhood, until he became independent and became an adult and could support themselves and have a family and so on, if one does not understand all of these sacrifices and all of these efforts to raise that child, if he does not treat them well because of that, that person will definitely not be fair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa lillahi al-mathal wal-a'la is the one who created us from nothing. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustained us through our parents or through our means that He chose subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He is the sustainer. So if we cannot see the direct connection, how can we see the indirect connection? If we do not see the hand that physically fed us, how can we see the hand and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that fed us through these hands? So if you cannot see the straight line, the line that's drawn in front of you, how can you see its extrapolation? Or how can you think about imagining things that you do not see? Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always reminds us about be kind to your parents, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them to care for you. It is part of the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you that He created parents who would care for you, who would lose sleep if you have a fever or if you are sick, who would do anything, they would sacrifice anything for the safety and security and prosperity and well-being of their children. Therefore, the least that we can do to them is to appreciate what they have done for us as a sign of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Again, look at the parallels with Surah Al-Isra. In Surah Al-Isra, the ayah comes, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Do not kill your children for the fear of poverty. Poverty that has not happened yet, but you are fearing poverty. Do not kill them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We sustain them and we sustain you. So their sustenance is guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not think that having sons or daughters is going to reduce your sustenance, because their sustenance is born with them. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. But here the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. You are already in poverty. It's not fear or speculation for the future. It is a present. Do not kill your children out of fear. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. We support you, we sustain you, as well as we sustain them as well. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Very comprehensive part of the ayah. Do not approach any indecencies, whether it's public or private, whether it's appearing or hidden, whether it's patent or latent. All of these are opposites. So, مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Do not approach any of these indecencies or inappropriate behaviors. It is not fit for the character of a believer to have all of these character flaws. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Even if you have disputes, even if you have disagreements with other human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave sanctity for this human life. And it cannot be terminated except according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the conditions that justify execution for someone or terminating the life of someone? It's only according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if someone transgresses and kills someone for a personal feud between himself and herself or herself and that other individual, this is a great sin. And we talked before when we were talking about Surah Al-Ma'idah that this is the first capital crime, major crime to appear on earth, even among the sons of the first human, Sayyidina Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And we talked about that in a little bit more detail. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. This is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has ascribed to you so that you might understand, you might have the intellect and see the value of all of these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A society where a person is not safe, has fear for his or her life, can never be a productive society, cannot be a stable society. It's always going to be a fluctuating society, a rebellious society, an unstable society, and no one would like to live in such conditions. A society that oppresses its newborns, where the love and the mercy is removed from the heart of the parents who kill their newborns, how can this society be a safe and healthy society? A society where a person does not treat his elders, especially his parents, kindly and nicely, regardless of the situation, is not a healthy society. A society, first and foremost, that does not acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners or any associates, definitely is not a healthy society. So how many commandments came here? أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Five commandments came in this ayah. But we're not done yet. Look at the following ayah. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ. Do not unjustifiably and without any rights eat or consume the money of an orphan that has been put in your charge until they grow up and you see how much you have spent on them, how much you have supported them, and you can, if you agree, you can deduct that from their inheritance as the cost of care. But other than that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, that was talking about these weak groups of the society and disenfranchised or disempowered groups of the society, وَمَنْ كَانَ غَنِيًّا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The ones who are rich, who have enough for them, let them stay away from the money of these orphans and keep that money of the orphans to the orphans when they grow up and they can use it for themselves. And those who are poor and need to use part of that money to support themselves as well, this is cost of that care giving, but they should do it bil ma'ruf, in ways that are approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the things that everyone this is in the society agrees that this is okay, this is fine, this is not too extravagant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ. This is commandment number 6. And again, a society where the poor and the needy and the weak, especially the orphans, are not taken care of, is not a healthy society. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And when you weigh, when you buy, when you sell, when you take, when you give, do that with justice and fairness. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Later on, inshallah, when we talk in Surah Al-A'raf about the different stories of the prophets and messengers, we're going to find that the prophet, Sayyidina Shu'ayb ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, was sent to his people who had this bad practice of unfairness in buying and selling, and that was one of their core flaws, of course, in addition to not observing, not being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But that was their earthly character flaw that he commanded them or advised them to abandon it. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا. Number 7. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَ. And if you give an opinion, if you give a verdict, if you are asked to judge among people, say the truth. Tell the truth, even if it were against your relatives. So you're not going to give preferential treatment to your relative over a stranger, but you're going to say the truth. Now there's a very nice story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam about its authenticity, but it's mentioned in some of the books of the seerah that at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a dispute about some belongings between Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and a Jewish merchant who was living in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Now, he was living under the protection of the Muslim rule, which means there can be coexistence between Muslims and the family of the scripture who live under the protection of the Muslim rule. There's nothing wrong with that. So there was this dispute between Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and later on to become the fourth Khalifa radiallahu anhu wa karramallahu wajah, and this Jewish trader or merchant. It was about some armor or about some goods. And they were brought to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was going to listen to the arguments of both parties. So he looked at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and told him, اجلس يا أبا الحسن. أبا الحسن, which is the nickname of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, sit here on this side. And then he approached the Jewish trader and he called him, and you, such and such, sit here on my side. What did Sayyidina Umar do? He just called the two parties to sit close to him so that they can share with him their arguments without any loud voice or anything like that. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu noticed something and said, مَا عَدَلْتْ. That's not fair. What? We haven't said anything yet. We haven't done anything yet. Why do you call me unfair, Ya Ali? And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu told him, because you called me Ya Aba al-Hasan. You called me by my nickname, which is a way of honoring me. And you called him by his proper name, by his first name. So if you want, call me Ali and call him by his name, or call me Aba al-Hasan and call him by his kunya, the name of his eldest son, or whichever name he prefers to be called by. Is that hair splitting? No, That's the understanding of the ayah. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. What did this Jewish trader do when he saw this happening? He said, listen, I give up. I was wrong. I was claiming that this armor belongs to me, but it actually belongs to him. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, and why are you confessing now? He said, because now I can see the justice of Islam. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. The religion that equals between the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who has been praised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so many times, and who has this high status in the Muslim ummah and high regard, and me, the Joe Schmo, who is not known in the community, who actually claimed falsely that this armor belonged to me. Actually, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu told Sayyidina Umar to be fair, give him the armor, I don't want it anymore. And that's when that Jewish traitor said, what kind of faith is that, where a person would give his right for something that he felt was an unfair treatment of his opponent? So this is the beauty of Islam. And again, that's why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did not have to speak much. His behavior and character sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought people to Islam, and so subhanallah did the behavior of his companions radiyallahu anhum. So this was number 7. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. This is number 8. وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. This is number 9. And fulfill your pledges and covenants with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, a society where a person does not stand by his or her promise or his or her word is not a healthy society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving all of these instructions, all of these commandments to the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that later on, when they control the world, they're going to uphold these values. They're not going to be unfair to anyone, whether they like them or not. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. The first ayah ended with ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. And this one is ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is what your Lord commands you to do so that you may remember. Always remember that you are one day returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being held accountable for what you have sent forward. And then number 10, to finish the 10 commandments, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the end of that beautiful passage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here I have prescribed for you the straight path. You have no confusion about what you should do and what you should not do. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is my path. It is straight, very easy to follow. The points, you can see the point of origin and you can see the point of destination, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His paradise. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. Do not take the sideways, the side alleys. In Islam, there are no shortcuts. There are no detours. It is straight. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is something that your Lord has commanded you so that you might attain piety, so that you might be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you might be observing of the greatness and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Inshallah, I'm going to conclude with a nice or sort of funny story that comes from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this surah, Surah Al-An'am, about again how we mentioned yesterday, the non-believers have categorized different animals and said, this is lawful, this is not lawful, this is lawful for the males and not for the females, and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates all of these false allegations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in this ayah, وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ مِمَّا خَلَقَ مِنَ الْحَرْثِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ نَصِيبًا فَقَالُوا هَذَا لِلَّهِ بِزَعْمِهِمْ وَهَذَا لِشُرَكَائِنَا فَمَا كَانَ لِشُرَكَائِهِمْ فَلَا يَصِلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ يَصِلُ إِلَى شُرَكَائِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they made among their plantations and their animals, they have again categorized them. They said, these are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are for our idols, our deities that we are worshipping apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they have dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they give to their to the partners. And whatever they have given to the partners, they do not give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyway, it will not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in after that major crime that we talked about in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts from those who are pious, those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. So in the 10th year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the year that's called عام الوفود, before Hajjat al-Wada', a few months before Hajjat al-Wada', when the different tribes of Arabia came finally, the ones who have delayed their Islam for so long, or delayed meeting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for so long, now it's time for them to come to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara and to pledge Islam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of these tribes from Yemen was called the tribe of Khulan. So a person, for example, would be called Al-Khulani, belonging to that tribe of Khulan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, they came actually very nicely, very kindly, very politely, and gave their zakat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and pledged allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fellowship to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them after they were done, and on their way back, before they go back to Al-Yemen, the Prophet ﷺ asked them, tell me about the weirdest thing that you've done. And their leader told the Prophet ﷺ, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, we were in the days of Jahiliyyah, we used to do some very crazy and weird things. But the weirdest thing that I can remember right now is that there was one year in particular that was so dry. There's no rain, and no rain, no plantations, no crops, no animals that can survive on that water, and so on. It was a very, very hard year, and we became very poor, very needy, very destitute, very hungry, very exhausted. So we thought, and we had an idol that was called Ammu Anas. Am Anas, that was the name of that idol. So we said, what should we do? Let's collect whatever money we can from everyone in the tribe. And we bought 100 bulls. 100 bulls. Well, you're hungry. If you're hungry, you can slaughter these bulls and eat them. So what did they do to these 100 bulls? They slaughtered these 100 bulls as a sacrifice for Ammu Anas, for that idol. And they asked, oh Ammu Anas, please, we're trying to make you happy and pleased. Please send the rain our way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test them. So the sky started raining heavily, to the extent that plants started growing and growing very quickly. They said that the grass was as tall as the individual. A person could walk through the plants and they would disappear. No one would see them. The grass is much taller than the individual. So they came to that land that they owned, and in the middle of that land they drew a big square. And they said, this is belonging to Ammu Anas, as a show of gratitude to that deity for the prosperity that he has bestowed upon us. And the fringes, the perimeter on the exterior of that square, that belongs, that we're going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the wind blew in any direction, and the plants would lean one direction, the plants that they have dedicated to Ammu Anas, they lay in one direction, they say, okay, this is Ammu Anas plants and they are leaning this direction, so they belong to Ammu Anas still, transgressing on the land that they have pledged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the plants would lean the other way, when the wind blows in the other way, they would say, okay, so now this again belongs to Ammu Anas, until the whole land now has been dedicated to Ammu Anas. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard that, he laughed sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the ayat that were revealed in Surah Al-An'am, they were revealed more than 30, almost 10 to 13 years earlier in Mecca al-Mukarramah, Whereas these people are coming very late in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell him about that event, which confirms exactly what was mentioned in the ayat, subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. He is Sabur. He is patient, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could have destroyed that village for their transgression. First of all, by associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second, by not even giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what they have pledged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended the lives of these people until they heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and until they met personally with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pledged to Islam to him, and they brought their sadaqat and their zakah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "You could have given these zakah to your poor people," they said, "We are bringing the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our money." And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "You could have given it to your poor people," they said, "Alhamdulillah, we have given money to all our poor people, and this is even over and above what we have given to the poor people. That's the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the beauty of Islam." Inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, tomorrow we're going to start talking about Surah Al-A'raf, another very beautiful surah of the Quran that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Also, it's a surah Makkiyah. So until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.